is keep it to yourself. Mm. We're going to look at the reunion of Esau and Jacob after 20 years. Remember, Jacob had to flee for his life because of what he had done to Esau in stealing the family blessing from him. Esau got so mad that he said he was going to kill Jacob.
Yeah.
And he probably would have if he'd have had a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Jacob spent the next 20 years in Haran. I don't know how you pronounce that for sure. But he spent 20 years there being used and abused by his uncle Laban. Probably due to the fact that Jacob also deceived Esau. What goes around comes around.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And by the way, this isn't karma.
No.
Karma is nothing other than a way to omit God from the equation.
Right.
God said, you reap what you sow.
Amen.
And God is the one who orchestrates the payback, not karma.
Right.
There's no such thing as karma. It's a made up word, it's a made up thought from people who are trying to omit God from the equation. So here now, Jacob is tired of Laban's abuse, and so he gathers up all of his stuff and his cattle and his family, and he leaves secretly. So we're here in Genesis chapter 33, verse number 1, the Bible says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help me to say what I should. Lord, you know the needs of your people. I don't. And so, Father, I pray that you would direct my mouth and help me to relay your message accurately to your people. Lord, help us to learn what we need from your word. Help us to see what you want us to see in ourselves. And Lord, help us to make change where necessary. I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Back up a chapter in chapter 32, verse 7. The Bible says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. This is when he found out that Esau was coming his way with 400 men. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. Jacob is scared to death. He remembered clearly the fury that Esau had after the trick that Jacob pulled. Not only did he deceive Esau, he deceived his own dad.
That's right.
He lied to him. He capitalized on Esau's vulnerable state of hunger to get him to trade his birthright for a bowl of soup. And you know, I think he knew very clearly that he was wrong in all of that. And I believe he probably suffered guilt about that for the next 20 years. And now he's getting ready to face Esau. But I want you to notice something there in chapter 33, in verse 2, how he divided up the convoy. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost. And Leah and her children after. And Rachel and Joseph hindermost. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have definitely felt like the outcast if I'd have been in that first group.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that they were blind to what was going on there. I mean, if anybody's going to get killed first, He'd want it to be them. Right?
Yeah.
You'll always have personality differences with your different family members. A lot of times this even happens with your children. Jacob made it clear who he loved more than the others. You should never allow yourself to extend more love and attention to one child over the other.
Amen.
Jacob didn't do this, which may be part of the reason why he had such a highly dysfunctional family. If you ever studied it out, he had a highly dysfunctional family. Which is part of the reason that Joseph wound up in big trouble like he did.
Yeah.
But the time has come, and now it's time for Jacob to meet Esau face to face. Look in verse 3 of chapter 33. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground. This is Jacob. 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. So picture this reunion. It actually turned out a lot different than Jacob was expecting. He was expecting war.
Yeah.
He was expecting to see some people have to die. And yet Esau acted entirely different than what Jacob was expecting. Honestly, he acted different than what I would have expected him to act. Mm. Verse 8, Esau pops the big question. He said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" We didn't read it, but in chapter 32, Jacob set it up where that he sent a group of his servants with cattle and sheep and oxen as a gift to Esau, and he sent them way ahead of his family.
Right.
And he did that, which we're going to see here in this verse, to soften the blow, to try to appease Esau's anger. Let's finish reading the verse. And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." Jacob had made some bad choices in his day. We know that. We see that.
Yeah.
But here, he did well. Mm. When you've offended someone, follow his example. Mm. Recognize that you messed up, admit it, and make restitution in some way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we want it to be sufficed by just simply saying, "Sorry."
Yeah.
"Sorry about that."
Yeah.
There's a need for more than that. But now I want you to notice how Esau acted toward Jacob. After being deceived, stolen from, what did he do? He simply forgave. Mm. He forgave Jacob. Jacob did him pretty wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know that we really understand the impact of what it means to have the birthright of a family, and especially a wealthy family. And that was that was taken from Esau by his own brother. But he forgave. Jacob didn't deserve his forgiveness. In fact, Jacob even made a comment about that earlier when he was praying to God about this reunion. He said, God, I don't deserve your mercy, but please help.
Yeah.
So Esau forgave him. And I think that shows a clear picture of what Jesus did and is doing for you and I. He forgives us, not because we deserve it. We don't. He forgives us because he loves us. And he then said, for us to forgive people that same way. Not because they deserve it. They don't. But because that's what he would have us to do.
Amen.
So here's the big question. If Esau forgave Jacob, then why was there so much strife between the descendants of Esau and Israel? I mean, we just read it. Esau honestly forgave Jacob, didn't he?
Yes.
There was no problem there. In fact, he told Jacob, he said, just keep this stuff. I don't need it. I have plenty. Jacob insisted that he keep it.
Yeah.
To the point that he finally did. Esau wasn't mad with him anymore. Esau didn't hate him. He didn't want to kill him. He forgave him. So why the family feud? Here's what I believe. Because when Esau was mad with Jacob in the earlier years, he voiced his distaste for Jacob to those around him, his family, his wife, his children. They naturally took on the same hatred for Jacob that Esau had. Here's the big deal about this. By the way, just remember the title of this sermon tonight is Keep It to Yourself.
Yeah.
Here's the big deal. Even though Esau changed his mind and really his heart and made things right with Jacob, forgave him, it's not a problem anymore, I ain't mad with you, his family never did. To this day.
That's true.
The Arabic people despise and hate and are trying to kill and annihilate Israel.
Yeah.
You see it on the news all the time. Mm-hmm. It never ended.
I'm so sad.
And it started when Esau was saying all those bad things to his family. Now I know the Bible doesn't say that, but they found out about it somehow.
Yeah.
It's natural for us that when one of our family members has had a bad run-in with someone, someone's done them wrong, somebody at work has caused them a problem or whatever, it's natural as a family member for us to take sides with our family member, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's the important factor. When somebody upsets you or rubs you wrong, keep it to yourself, because you may make up with that person one day. They may make up with, they may make it right, come to you, apologize, ask for forgiveness, and you do.
Yeah.
And you have a great relationship with that person, but your family may never forgive them. I know cases of that going on right now.
Yeah.
You probably do too. All because of what come out of our mouth. There's no need to go home and vent. Keep it to yourself. Paul said in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, he said, speak evil of no man.
Amen.
Just a few small, simple words. But had Esau taken that to heart, there could have been a lot of unnecessary roughness going on for the next few thousand years.
Yeah.
Could also eliminate some of the unnecessary hatred that might be going on in your family or someone else's simply due to what we allow to come out of our mouth.
That's right.
I'm sure you've probably heard the old adage, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Keep it to yourself. You'll probably save someone's life by doing it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I do pray that you would forgive us for saying things that we should not have said about other people. Lord, help us to do what's right. Lord, help us not to speak evil of other people. Lord, help us to glorify you with our words and with our mouth. And I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 275.